running with his head thrown back, his arms pumping. He knew which was the trail to the Ville, heading easterly. The sun was almost directly overhead as he ran, jumping over puddles, slipping in patches of wet earth and leaf mold. A black-masked raccoon, foraging below the tall pines, made him jump as it suddenly turned. In less than 5 minutes, the boy was out of breath, stopping with a painful charley horse that made his thigh muscles tremble and twitch. He put his hand down to his pocket, making sure that the folded lump of paper was still safe. The lad knew what it said, knew the nature of the message that he carried back to the distant Ville, that the 11-year-old son of Baron Wayman was a prisoner, and that his life would depend on a number of conditions. The boy knew he couldn't rest for long. It was time to be moving on. Rainey had been content for the Outlanders to take over the wreck and possibly rescue mission, admitting that his sec force hadn't faced any serious problems for many years.
Just the occasional poacher and one or two invasions by a few pathetic scabbies.
Jack had taken the lead, padding through the forest in almost total silence, occasionally scowling over his shoulder as someone else broke a dry branch or slipped noisily in the damp earth. The worst of the group for clumsiness were the three sec men, all of whom looked like they'd much rather have been sitting comfortably around a warm fire back in the Ville. Jack suddenly stepped off the path, crouching behind a clump of young junipers, waving with his hand for the others to hide.
Someone coming.
Christy pressed her mouth to Ryan's ear.
Stumbling. Tired out.
Only one.
Jack allowed the runner to pass him before he ghosted out of hiding and seized the boy from behind. Though the albino teenager only stood about 5.5 feet tall and weighed in just over the 100-pound mark, he was very strong, swinging the prisoner clear off the ground. The others all emerged from cover, gathering around. For a single heart-stopping moment, Ryan thought that the boy who hung limply in Jack's grasp was Dean. He had the right sort of height, with dark, curly hair.
Jamie! You managed to escape! Let him go, Outlander!
When Jack released him, the lad stumbled and nearly dropped to the ground, recovering himself with visible effort. His face was pale, mud-smeared, with several bruises and cuts, his clothes filthy and torn. He was fumbling in his pocket.
Where's Dean?
Got him!
The boy's chest was heaving, and he looked as if he were about to pass out.
Sit down, son.
Jamie gave her a grateful, wan smile and sat like a puppet with the strings cut. Trader offered him a drink from his canteen, which the boy took eagerly, gulping at the warm water.
Take it slow, lad.
In your own time, Jamie.
Ryan knelt at the boy's side.
What happened?
We took ponies and followed you. We took the high trail. Why are you behind us? We were a good distance behind you.
Had a problem. Slowed us down by an hour. I guess you must have passed us then.
I suppose that must be so. When we reached the old mill, they were there.
Who took you, scabbies? Or was it the brushwooders?
Brushwooders. We were knocked down and tied and hooded, taken to their camp. A few ragged huts and a fire.
Was Dean hurt?
No, Ryan. Not too badly. I think they hit him harder than they hit me.
There was something going on that Jamie hadn't told them. Ryan was conscious of the way the boy's eyes wouldn't meet anyone's face, his hands knotting and tangling in his lap, the rapid blinking, the way his tongue kept flicking out to moisten his dry lips. Jamie hadn't yet told him the truth, not the whole truth.
Go on. Who was there?
A man called Ditchdown. He had a funny white scar in his hair, and there was another one. He was in charge of the group that succeeded in capturing us. His head was shaved, and he had funny eyes that made me feel dizzy.
Straub.
They've given me a letter to take to my father. Then they let me go.
I don't understand, kid. Why did they let you go and keep Dean? I mean, doesn't make any sense, does it? Like throwing out the gold and keeping the pyrites, in a manner of speaking. Well, you know what I mean.
Show me the letter, son. Unless there's something else you want to tell us, Jamie. Something you haven't mentioned to us yet?
The boy closed his eyes, his hands gripping each other so hard that it looked as though the white knuckles were going to break clean through the skin.
Yes!
You expecting us to read your mind, kid? Time's passing.
Sorry. I'm so dreadfully sorry, Mr. Carter. I feel as though it were all my fault.
Go on.
It wasn't my idea. I swear before all the gods of land and sky that it wasn't. I didn't know that Dean was going to do that. I was speechless.
Convenient.
Ryan patted the boy on the shoulder.
There's times when words don't come easy.
I argued with them.
Jamie recalled exactly what had happened.
He isn't really the son of the Baron. Can't you see that? I am.
Of course you are, child. I can just see some ragged-ass brat carrying a Browning high power and top-of-the-line condition while he rides with the son of a Baron who's unarmed. Highly unlikely.
It's true! He's the son of an Outlander. His name is Dean Carter.
Dean turned to Jamie, grinning through his bruised lips.
And I'm the king of the Deathlands. Nice try, though. If we get out of this, Dad'll thank you for that. Can we get on with this, Baldy? I could do with some food and a rest.
Straub actually smiled at him, something that was more frightening than any of the man's other expressions.
The sort of spirit I expect from the son of a Baron. Even if Wayman is on the down slope to nowhere.
Just fucking do it, Jamie. Argue when we both get chilled. Bring my father and the others. You could do it.
Stop talking to each other. I won't have it.
Yes, Stitchdown, sir.
And they both kept quiet at the threat from a fist the size of a smoked ham.
And that's it, Jamie? They believed that Dean was you, and they gave you the ransom demand to take to the Baron. Let's see it.
Jamie fished for the note in his pockets, eventually pulling it out and giving it to Traitor.
Waste of time giving it to me, son. Never could make sense out of those little black spider marks. Give it to the lady to read.
The letter was crumpled, written in ink on the usual Deathlands handmade paper, though it was slightly better quality than what was usually encountered. What was surprising was the neatness of the writing in a sort of sloping Gothic hand, impeccably spelled and punctuated.
To the noble and respected Baron Wayman, we hold your son, Jamie, a prisoner, but do not wish any fellness to befall him. You will be pleased to hear that we are not demanding Jack from you beyond your powers of paying. No, that is not our wish. All you have to do is return a message with this boy that you accept our terms, and your son will be released unhurt. Not at once, you understand, but once you have done what we ask. We demand that you abandon your vill to us and disband your sekmen. Once we see that done, then Jamie is a free boy again. They don't want much, do they? Just everything.
Go on.
Ryan glanced at the sky, his mind working like a racing calculator. The Brushwooders wouldn't know that he and the group were so close. It would have taken Jamie at least 6 or 7 hours on foot to reach the vill, meaning there was no risk of any retaliation until after dark. The kidnappers wouldn't be expecting any sort of attack within the hour, which meant now was their best chance.
In the event that you don't believe us, we will deliver to the vill, 12 hours from noon this day, the right ear of your son. Then, at such intervals, other parts of his body so as to leave him still in fair working order, but sorely mutilated. We think this is only fair. Send reply by this ragged boy at your fastest convenience. It's signed The Levelers. Don't know what that means.
How far's the camp, Jamie? We'll go straight in now, fast and silent, all of us. You can show us the way.
About a mile. The trail winds and twists an awful lot, but I can find it easily.
Good lad. Ryan patted the boy on the back. Your father will be proud of you.
You don't mind the way I left Dean?
Of course not. We'll soon have him safe and snug with us, Jamie. Don't worry.
Yeah, nothing will go wrong, kid. Not with us on the job.
The hunters reached the perimeter of the camp, halfway down a steep and slippery slope. The sky had darkened with the threat of imminent rain, sweeping in toward the mountains from the west, from over the Pacific Ocean.